Well, good evening, church. Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office as we continue in partial lockdown, I guess. We are starting a new series, and actually we're starting a new book. So we did creation, and we went through that, the first couple of chapters of Genesis, and we completed that. We did the creation, and then we did sort of the first relationships, focusing on marriage and siblings and things of that nature. And then that was the intent, and we finished that. And so now we're going to be moving on to Ephesians in the New Testament. And so I want to talk a little bit about the introduction to Ephesians. Now, I'm a little bit different than other pastors in that I'm sure you already realize that. And it's not my intention to be different. It's just I look at things differently and I question why we do what we do. So a lot of times when I've heard people, in fact, I did this early in my career as well. When I taught on Ephesians, I did the first week on an introduction of, who wrote it and what was the theme and what was the mega theme and what was the context and things like that. Well, I quickly realized that that bored a lot of people. And so what I do is I kind of introduce the introduction through the teachings, right? And when I see something that is a main theme or something that that I would have taught in the introduction, I highlight that as we go along. That way we get right into the study and we sort of don't get stuck in all the little details. Not that those little details aren't important, but in all the little details at once is, I think, a waste because, like I said, pretty much throughout the teaching, they're going to come up, right? So the first part of Ephesians, really, when you look at this book, there is a theme to it. And the theme is this particular letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus is a manifesto. And what a manifesto is it's a public declaration of policy and aims, right? In other words, this is what we want to do, and this is how we're going to do it. It's a mission statement, for lack of a better term, but it's a manifesto of the church, right? And this is what Paul's reason for writing the Ephesians. He wanted them to be mature. He wanted them to understand where it is they came from and where are they going, right? So the structure of the book is pretty easy. It's divided into two main divisions. It's six chapters long, and the first three chapters talk about our position in Christ, and then the next three talk about sort of our walk, right? And it stresses our place and purpose in the church. So the first two verses are introduction, and then we get into our position. This evening, we're going to be covering our position, which is chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. And then this is part one, and we're going to have another part to this because we're going to be talking about spiritual blessings. So quickly, the spiritual blessings that we see here, and what are they, and what do they do for us is basically the question that Paul begins to answer. And contrary to some belief, they're not some mysterious cosmic power that we have. They're more benefits that we have as a relationship that we have developed with Jesus Christ. And these things we experience daily, right? And these are things that we have been given to us as an endowment from the Lord. They're blessings to be recognized. They're blessings to be celebrated. And they're blessings to be utilized. So one of the things that I think is a good way to explain this is we have blessings that we can see and feel. My children, my wife, my home, my stuff, my grandkids, those are all blessings from the Lord that I get to interact with and that I get to experience and feel and touch and see, right? Well, the blessings that we're talking about in Ephesians chapter 1 are more of the standing that we have in Christ. And you'll know that when I read the first part here. I want you to pay careful attention to the fact that these spiritual blessings are for everybody. This particular book, although this letter was not written to you, it's written for you, right? It says clearly that it's to the people in Ephesus. And Ephesus was sort of a thriving metropolis the way that we are. They have a lot of religious people there, some on fire, some not on fire, a lot of worldly religion there, a lot of hustle and bustle. And so it's really, there's a lot of things that we have in common with the city of Ephesus. So let's get right to it and remember why we do what we do. We are here this morning or this evening to study, to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That's you and that's me. And that is our mission here tonight. So Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, and to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one whom he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ. Father, bless your word this evening as we study in Jesus' name. So, obviously, there's a lot of blessings listed there. I think one of the things that we can see automatically is that they're not difficult to pull out. They're pretty specific, right? And so I count six of them in the first 10 verses here outside of the normal verse 1 and 2, which is a standard sort of greeting for Paul the Apostle. The first one is he predestined us to be adopted. The second one is we are accepted in the beloved. And number three is we have redemption through his blood. And number four is our sins are forgiven. And five is we have abundant grace. And six, we have the knowledge of his will. So the important thing here about blessings is this word, right? This word in the Greek is the word eulogy. And that word eulogy means to speak well of. You might have heard that in reference to a funeral where, you know, when somebody died, you get up and you speak about the person. Well, it's disrespectful to speak bad things about the person who has died. And 9 times out of 10, hopefully, or 10 times out of 10, we hear people say good things. Good things that God has decreed for us. Good things that God has spoken over us. Good things that God has meant toward us is beyond the ability to number, right? But we can outline a few. And if you look at Ephesians, there's many listed here, six in this one, and there's going to be more in the next one. So what does all this mean? Well, if you look at the first blessing listed in as the election of the saints, right? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, what is he talking about here? Well, a lot of people, when they hear things like, well, you know, predestination, and it's too big for me to understand, and so I just kind of, you know, listen to it, but I don't really understand what it is, and I don't even understand why I need to understand what it is, but you do. And it's very simple. Predestination is a doctrine that simply put, is that God knew beforehand, before the creation of the world, that we were going to be saved, right? And that we were called to that. And then once we define what predestination is, then there are two sort of sub meanings to it. One is, did we choose God, right? Did we go to God? And if so, then why are we predestined? And then number two, did God go to us? Did God choose us? Well, I think the easy way to understand predestination is that both are happening simultaneously. God knew that I would choose him. God knew that I would seek after him. He knew that before the foundations of the world. And therefore, yes, it's part of me choosing God and God electing me. And I think that both those things can happen simultaneously. And I don't think it should be a discussion beyond that, to be quite honest with you. Yes, in the next lesson, we're going to be going over predestination in a little bit more detail and add a little clarity to it. But God has chosen us to make us holy and blameless in all of this because of his love, his good pleasure, and his grace. And what a blessing that, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in our sins, God chose us to extend this grace to us and offer us salvation. This is even more amazing when we realize that this decision was made before sin even entered the world, before the creation of the world. This decision was made by God. He knew that we were going to seek him out and that he was going to seek us out. And we were elected and we were chosen and we were adopted, which brings me to my second one. The second blessing here is found in verse 5, and that's adoption of his children. This not only has God chosen us to be made holy and grants us this full status as children, and with all the benefits that go along with that. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, as many as received him, that's you and I, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that is us. That is us. We were given the power to be the sons of God, not just sons that were adopted. When we were adopted, we were just like any other son. We were made with all of the benefits, with all of the status that regular children had. Being adopted, we have all of those benefits, right? And remember, we're Gentiles. We were engrafted in the Hebrew root, right, to join in that blessing with God, according to what the scripture says. So when we believe the gospel, we receive this full access to the Father, and we're able to call out his name as children, right? So the third blessing here is in verse 6, and that is we are accepted in the beloved. Well, it really means we're accepted in his love. The word, you know, here is related to the grace that gives us this idea of making us grateful or favorable through Christ because he loves us because of his great love for us. And when we put on Christ, you know, the Father sees his loveliness when he looks at us. He sees his beauty when he looks at us because we are the express image of him, right? We should reflect him. And the blood of Christ has taken away the guilt of our sin, and we stand before the Father as perfectly accepted. Church, I think a lot of people their walk would be completely, you know, changed if they understood that they're accepted by God. I think most of us spend a lot of time in our walk feeling like we've been rejected by God. And the reality is we're accepted, and we're accepted yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. Once he's declared his acceptance of something, he's accepting of us. And does that mean that we're perfect? No. Does that mean that we're going to stop sinning? No. Does that mean that, you know, God's going to be angry with us? Well, God has the ability to be angry with us. God has the ability to discipline us, but we're still accepted, right? We're still accepted. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means because we have this advocate, we can go and ask for forgiveness and we'll be forgiven and accepted. And that acceptance continues, right? So this leads us right into the fourth blessing, which is the redemption through his blood. So this redemption, you know, this speaks of buying one's freedom or paying a ransom. And the price for our sins, you know, the payment to buy us out for the eternal condemnation that we had signed up for was fully paid for by the blood of Christ. And in Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin. We're slaves to God or slaves to righteousness. And I think that a lot of times we need to be reminded of that, right? We need to be reminded of these blessings because, guys, what these blessings should do is change the very trajectory of our walk. They should change the rest of our life, understanding that we have these blessings. They're never going to be taken from us, but we need to experience them. We need to walk in them. And as we do, our path will change, right? Our relationships with people will become more significant. Our relationship with God will be more significant. Who we marry, where we go, what we do, all the decisions that we have in our life to make will be completely changed and modified because of these blessings. And this understanding that we have redemption through his blood is an amazing blessing that God gives us, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, since we are bought and paid for by his blood, we have an obligation to glorify God in our body and spirit. We have this obligation because we were bought and paid for, right? Which is you and which was me. We are bond servants to Christ. And because of that, excuse me, we have an obligation. And our obligation is not to win our salvation. It's already been won. But our obligation is to glorify God in our body and our spirit because he says so. He says, I want you to be my love. I want you to be my reflection. I want you to be my light. I want you to be the salt. I want you to have certain things. I want, when people look at you, I want them to see me. And that's when we understand these blessings, we start walking in that power, right? Verse 7 describes the fifth blessing here, and that's the forgiveness of sins. And this is closely related to redemption, but it looks like the other side of the coin, right? It's because in paying for this ransom for our sins, the debt of sin was canceled and we were forgiven, right? So when the debt was paid for, that's one side, the forgiveness is the other side. We're no longer, to carry this burden of guilt for violating God's holy laws because we've been forgiven. We've been set free. We've been pardoned. We've been purchased. And I think that understanding that on a regular basis, even when we go to God to his throne, even when we find ourselves going to him, his throne of grace, we must understand that we are forgiven. We must understand that our sin debt has been paid for. These are things that we need to remind ourselves, that God has invited us into his very throne room where he wants to bless us, right? These blessings don't stop. They continue, and God wants to add more to them. So the sixth spiritual blessing here is knowing the mystery of his will, and that's in verses 8 through 10. And God has given us wisdom and insight through his word, and he has shown us, you know, his desire to bring us all things together under him. And all of creation was made by him and for his good pleasure. We know that in Revelation. And the end result of his plan is that everything is going to be brought in line to glorify him, right? When God makes it his, when God gives us a spiritual blessing to know what the mystery of his will is, right? That mystery of his will comes through his word. And when we understand his word, we understand the mystery, right? It's not that it's completely solved, because sometimes when you read God's word, there's more questions than answers. And that's okay. That's totally okay. The idea here is that we know his will. It may be mysterious to the world, but it's no longer mysterious to us, because we're going to know it. And not only are we going to know it, we're going to know it for ourselves. What is God's will for me, right? And by aligning ourselves with him by faith, you know, we become part of this perfect plan and his purpose, which is more important. The Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you. They're not plans to tear you down. They're not plans to humiliate you. They're not plans to leave you holding the bag. They're plans to bless you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to make you grow. That's the plans that God has for you. That's a mystery of his will. So this evening, we go back to application and we, you know, try and stick this to our soul here. And when you look at this, the question that I had for me, right, was how do I access these blessings? How do I access them? They're readily accessible to everyone who's in Christ. And just like a child has an inheritance, but how do I access them? And I think that the way that I need to access them, I don't know about you, is I need to remind myself of these things continuously, especially when I'm going to God. I need to understand that, you know, I'm predestined to be adopted, that I'm accepted and loved, and I have redemption through his blood, and my sins are forgiven. I have abundant grace, and I have the knowledge of his will, right? Those are great things to have. When we walk with Jesus, the second point here, we walk in his blessings. And the way to be in Christ is to, you know, repent and turn away from our sin, according to Acts chapter 17, 30, and that we confess that we are sinners, Proverbs and Romans 10, verse 9, and the Bible says we'll be saved, but it's not enough just to be saved, it's to walk in that blessing, and you can't walk in blessings that you don't know. You can't walk in blessings that you haven't memorized. You can't walk in blessings that are unfamiliar to you. These blessings, number three, are evidence of us being a new creation, right? And when we believe that Christ died to take our punishment and now lives to give us a new life, according to Corinthians, he grants us forgiveness of sins and all the blessings that accompany our salvation. You and I were adopted by the Father to be the kids of the King with all the benefits that all of his other children would have. We're no different. We're no different, right? We have been predestined to be adopted. We have been accepted by God in his love. We have redemption through his blood. Our sins are forgiven. We have forgiveness by his grace, his abundant grace, and knowledge of his will. What more could we ask for, church? Well, if you're asking for more, you're going to get more, because next week is an extension of this wonderful understanding of God's blessing in our lives. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, you don't have these blessings right now. You don't have the blessing of being adopted or accepted or redemption through his blood, or your sins are not forgiven, or abundant grace, or knowledge of his will. You don't have those things and you want them. Well, it's simple. The Bible's not difficult with respect to salvation. It says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're going to be saved. And I pray that you make that your prayer today. And if you've done that, call the church. The phone number is there on the website. Let us know about the decision that you've made so that we may rejoice with you. We listen regularly. He has shown you, man and woman, me and you, what is good and what the Lord requires of us. That we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Let's go do that this evening. God bless you.